First Peter, chapter 3. We're beginning, of course, over the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at prior weeks. We've been looking at family, and we've been centering on the man, and we saw all those different types of manhood. Today, I want to center on the woman, and all the men said,
amen.
Hallelujah, amen. One man is full of wisdom out there, and he says, but I really believe the Lord has showed me something as I was preparing for this. I've never heard it ministered before. I've never taught it before. But I really believe it's going to be something that's going to help us and help you ladies to understand your husband and also give you directions. So in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. And let not your adornment be merely external, braiding the hair, and wearing gold jewelry, and putting on dresses. But let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Thus, Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children, if you do what is right, without being frightened by any fear. You husbands, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Let's stop there. I began to prepare, and I went to this passage of Scripture, seeking more than anything a title for what we would be ministering about. And I really felt that the Lord said the title would be Daughters of Sarah. And this would be part one, Hysterical Terror. Hysterical Terror. Women have a unique ability to get hysterical about the most insignificant things. And what Peter is saying here is don't do that. Don't do that. Don't get hysterical about the little bitty things of life. Trust me, says the Lord. And we're going to be looking at that. And I can't get a whole long ways into this, but I want to open it up. I see that Peter says here three things. He says, number one, be submissive. Number two, he tells us why. Number three, he tells us how. And number four, he'll give us an example. And the example is Sarah. So I want to look at these and begin to look at them today. Peter says, be submissive. Now, the word submissive there, King James says, be in subjection to. The word means to be subordinate. It means to obey. And all the women said, boo, boo. But how many understand that this is just as much a part of the Word of God as John 3:16? Is it just as true? It is just as true. What we've got to grasp and understand is how then does he really mean it? Does it mean that I bow down to him and call him Lord? Does he get up every morning and give me a list of what I'm supposed to do today? What does it really mean? What is Peter really trying to get across here when he says, be submissive? Now, I'm going to help us today, okay? Judy used to have this thought. She says, Delbert, a lot of the women in the church think when you get up every morning before you leave, you'll make me a list of what I'm supposed to do today. You don't understand. She's the one that makes the list and gives it to me. That's not true. But that's a lot closer than the other way, I want you to know. But what she does, when she does those things, it's to help me. So I won't forget that I need to go visit somebody, that I need to go to the hospital, that I need to do something particular, make a telephone call. So she is a real helpmate to me, and I'm going to get into those three aspects of the women as well. But that's another message and probably next week. But the first thing he says to do is be submissive to your own husband. Whose husband? Your own husband. Not your pastor's wife's husband. Are you here? Not an elder's wife's husband. Your own husband. You need to be submissive to your own husband. Listen, people, I'm frightened to touch some of the women's spirits. I know how the spirit world works. And if I reach in there and touch her spirit, I can manipulate her. And you need to understand that any pastor that she sits under, if he spends too much time with your wife, there's going to be a spiritual union there that you don't want. Now, that's just being truthful. When a man can get into a woman's spirit, he's got the woman. That's why he says become one. Become one body. We all know how that works. Become one soul. You communicate. Become one spirit. Become one. So be on guard. And wives, you be submissive to your own husbands. And husbands, you help your wives do that. He says be submissive. Now, the word there, behavior, in the NAS Bible is translated conversations in the King James. And that word conversations is a bad translation. Lady, you will never win your husband with your conversation. If you would, he'd be won. Is this true? Talking won't get him. The word there really is a lifestyle. The word that is there, I think NAS uses a real good word, your behavior. Your behavior. Where it says there in the NAS Bible, without a word, by the behavior, I think that's very good. It's not your words that's going to win your husband, it's your behavior that will win him. So concentrate on that. So we submit and we show him our behavior. And the first thing I feel like the Apostle Peter is really trying to bring out to us and show us here is that Eves of today are guilty of the same crime, the same sin that Eves of old were. Go back to the very first Eve. And her whole problem was she wanted to have her rights. I want to be like God. I want to be in authority. And Eves today are going through the same thing. What is it? E-R-A's? Is that what it is? That's of hell. That's of the devil.
Amen.
Because it doesn't say that in the scriptures, ladies. It says that you need to submit to your husbands. And Eve's problem is the same things that we see today. And when I see homes, the homes that I see having problems is where the wife is not submissive to the husband. And it's this submissive that I'm talking about right here. The submissiveness that I'm getting into here and that I'm going to be talking about in a few moments. It's not the bowing down, oh, I worship you, Lord husband. That's not what I'm talking about. And I'm not talking about the husband that makes the list. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about trusting your husband in the way that God is leading him and keeping your mouths closed and lead and show him by your conversations, but not that kind of conversations, but by your behavior. So the first thing I feel like Paul addresses here is Eve's fault. Eve had trouble with her rights. She wanted to have her rights. She didn't want to do what Adam said do. Satan knows, listen to this, Satan knows that if he can get the woman, eventually he'll get the man. Use Adam and Eve for your examples. If he gets the woman and causes enough turmoil going on in your home because of the woman and causes enough pain and enough suffering going on in your home because of the woman, eventually he's going to get you. So that's Satan's ploy. He always comes to the woman first. Doesn't mean now, men, we won't be bugged by him, but he's coming to the woman first. Verse 3 through 4 tells us how to be this submissiveness. The first thing that it says is it's not external. Your submissiveness is not displayed externally. It's not with those elements that he says there. It's not with the braiding of your hair. It's not by going to the hair designer. It's not by wearing gold jewelry. And it's not by wearing fancy dresses. Ladies, I want to say something. Your beauty is not determined by how your hair looks, by what jewelry you've got, or how you dress. That is not what beauty is about. Now, we allow the world to tell us that's what beauty is, but that's not scriptural beauty. The beauty that God likes is the meek and the quiet spirit of the inward person. You cannot win your husbands. You cannot be the example by looking on the outside like one of the magazines says to look. We allow the world to dictate what we think is beautiful. That is not what beauty is. Beauty is not by hair, jewelry, or clothing. And then he tells us in verse 4 what it really is. It's the hidden person of the heart. It's that imperishable quality, that part in us that is not corruptible. It's the inward person that ministers to your husband. It's the inward being that ministers to other people. How do we identify that? How do I know if an individual has a meek and a quiet spirit? How do I know that? Well, that's exactly how I know it. Because I watch her life. What is she about? What does she say? How does she respond? What is her spirit doing? Is it causing a rebellion or is it causing a submissiveness and an understanding that God has everything under control? And it says that this is a precious thing in the sight of God. What's a precious thing in the sight of God? The way your hair looks? The gold that you have? The fancy dresses that you have? What is precious to God? Your meek and your gentle spirit. And what is precious to your husband? Your meek and your gentle spirit. And we'll get into the glory of the man. And that's part of it. The woman has to feel that she is some man's glory. That somebody thinks she's beautiful. And beauty has got nothing to do with hairstyles and gold and dresses. My wife is beauty not because she looks good, but because she's beautiful to me because of her meek and quiet spirit and that inward person that I know that she has. And nobody, listen to me people, nobody ministers to me like my wife ministers to me. She can correct me, she can pray for me, and she can uplift me better than anybody else in the earth. We were talking to somebody just the other day, and Judy says, I know what buttons to push on him. I can make him mad. I can make him happy. I know how to touch him and make him do it. And, sir, your wife does too. Nobody can minister to you like that woman God has joined you with. And the way you minister to that person is not by how you look, but by what you are. Can I hear some amens? I know this is true. Okay. This is precious to God. Then he says, I want to give you an example of this. And he says, I'm going to use Sarah. Now, Sarah must be admired. Sarah must be admired. How many want to be holy women? Do you want to be a holy woman? Well, that's what we're talking about here. Let's read that particular passage so that you'll see this is how holy women operate. Verse 5. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves being submissive to their own husbands. That's how holy women work. If you're a holy person, you'll minister to your husband by your meek and your quiet spirit. That doesn't mean he doesn't like you to look nice. He does. But that's not how you minister to him. That's not how you'll win him. That's not how you'll cause him to be obedient. Every man likes a good-looking woman. But that gets old quick. If that's all he's got, if all he's got is a shell, your marriage will last about a year. If you can't touch his soul and you can't touch his spirit, you'll end up in divorce court. You got to become one in the tripartite man, spirit, soul, and body. You can have a body relationship and it won't last. Verse 6 was the verse that captured me. Thus Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you have become her children. If. Judy, there's your another if. Judy says, I'm going to preach one day on the ifs and buts of God. If. You're Sarah's daughters, you're daughters of Sarah if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. Now, I have never seen that aspect of this before, without being frightened by any fear. Now, I had to look up a whole lot. If I was at home last night and I ran back up here and I got my other translations and I wanted to see what is this saying here now? What does that mean? If a woman is not frightened by any fear, then that she's a daughter of Sarah. Hear what the other translation says. The King James Bible says, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Ladies, your husband's going to do some things that'll probably amaze you. But don't let it bring fear. Huh? NIV Bible says, do not give way to fear. When he does his things, that's why you got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I have done some Lulus. Phillips Bible says, do not give way to hysterical fears. That's where I drew the title of the sermon from. He's going to do some things that could send you into history. As well as hysteria. Jerusalem Bible says, do not give way to fear or worry. The Revised Standard says, if you let nothing terrify you. Hysteria that brings terror. He's going to do it. I promise you. I don't care how long you've been married. If you've been married a year, I promise you he will. And if you've been married two, I promise you he has. He's going to do some things. Now, and he gives us Sarah. And I've never seen this. And he gives us Sarah as the example. And now, how many know how we all lift up old faithful Abraham? Bless old Abraham, he come out of his Ur of the Chaldees. You know, God said, Abraham, get thee out. And so Abraham comes out and we lift him up and we say, oh faithful Abraham, didn't have a compass, didn't have nothing. Here he goes out into a journey as God called him forth. And God sent him through all these testings to test Abraham's life to see if he was truly and honestly the man of God so that he could bring forth a righteous seed so that we could all become heirs of faithful Abraham. We all lift up Abraham. But who knows who went with Abraham every step of the way? Who came out of Ur with Abraham? Who went through every one of those testings and those trials with Abraham? Every single thing Abraham went through, Sarah went through. And he did some things that would frighten me. And I want to list some of these things. This is what I'm trying to get to. And I've got to quit. But what these scriptures trying to tell us is that women, your husbands can do some things that could cause you hysterical terror. But if you are a daughter of Abraham, you will not allow that thing that he does to move you. You will not allow what he does to destroy your home. You will not allow what he does to hinder your relationship with Jesus Christ. You will not allow what he does to hurt your children. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually and emotionally. You'll cover him. You won't make him look bad to his kids. It won't devastate those children. And if you will do this, you will not allow what he does to hinder God's purpose for both you and him. Now, I want to list these for you. I've taught the separations of Abraham. And I've left poor Sarah out of it. But she was there in every step of the way. And now, this is what Peter's telling us. Sarah is our example. The first thing that I want to list, let's turn to Genesis chapter 12. And let's get a couple of these, and then we'll quit, and we'll pick it up right here next time. I just want to show you the train of my thought and what I think that the Holy Spirit is saying to you women. He wants you to understand your husbands. And he wants you to understand that it's not easy being a woman married to a husband. He is going to lead you in some directions that you can't understand. And if you'll allow them, they'll cause you to go absolutely crazy. They will cause you hysteria problems. They will cause you to go in terror. The first thing, Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, says, "Now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you." So that's the section that I'm coming from. Now look at verse 5. "And Abraham took Sarah, his wife." And he took Lot and all the rest of them. But I want you to see that he took Sarah, his wife. So the first one that we see is the separation from and I've got it listed here, the separation from your country and your relatives. Country and your relatives. Husband comes home one day, says, "Honey, I talked to God today. We're going to move. We're going to move. God told me to move." Well, you know, Sarah may have thought, well, what, across town? Across the street? "We're going to go to another country." "We're going to do what? We just painted this house. I just have had new carpet put down. We only built it 2 years ago. What do you mean we're going to move?" "Well, honey, that's what God said." "Oh, I ain't going. My mama's here. My daddy's here. My sisters are here. My brothers are here. I ain't going." "Well, honey, that's what God said to do." "Ah!" But that's not what Sarah did. Now, she might have discussed this thing with Abraham some, but it didn't drive her crazy. And what did she do? She submitted to Abraham. She submitted to him as the head of the house, as hearing God's will and purpose for their life. And the scripture says, Abraham took Sarah. We came up here to preach, been to several little churches, and had a couple of pastorates offered to us. And so Judy had kind of gotten out of this fear that any minute he's going to move me. And we'd been about three churches or something like that, and we came to Lafayette. And I really felt God spoke to me that I was to move from our world, from our country, our relatives, and come to Lafayette. On the way back, Judy said, "Are you really going to do this?" I said, "Yeah, I believe that God told me this, honey." She didn't scream. She didn't yell. Now, maybe she was on the inside. But when it came time to move, and I said, "Okay, it's time," Delbert took Judy. I've got to stop. That's just the first example. I've got nine. But wives, your husband are going to do some things. May cause you to leave your home. If I'm not mistaken, Tebow's told me the story of the time when he and Celia went out to Nevada, was it? Is that where it was? Picked up, moved. Tebow took Celia. It's the woman with the meek and the quiet spirit. It's the woman that maybe on the inside is saying, "What is he doing?" But all the man hears is the woman who has the meek and the quiet spirit and says, "God has joined us together. Where you go, I will go." We'll start here again next week. I want heads bowed. Ladies, this has already spoken to many of you. You've already seen there's areas of your life that you're going to have to do some adjusting. And I haven't even touched them yet. The Spirit's just already revealed them to you. That God is going to put His trust in your husband. And then it's up to you to submit to that trust. Doesn't mean not to share, not to talk, not to discern. But we're going to see as Abraham progresses through his walk with God that Sarah was right with him. Abraham's going to take her to Egypt. There was a famine. Takes her to Egypt. She gets involved with Pharaoh's harem. He splits the church with Lot. He turns down the riches of the king of Sodom. Wives, understand, your husband's going to make some financial blunders. He's going to get involved with Hagar. He's going to have an illegitimate son. He's going to come home with this idea that God's given him for covenant. He's going to take Sarah's son to Mount Moriah to kill him. Those are the nine that I'll be touching. And yet the Scripture says that in every area, Sarah submitted to Abram. Wives, God's going to be showing you true biblical submission. What He really means when He establishes the home is Christ is the head of the man and the woman is subject to that man. I pray right now that God will begin to tender your heart so that you can hear this word. Your husband can try to be the man of his house, but if you'll never submit to him, he can never lead you in the ways of God. As I've always taught home and family, it's always the woman who is the pivotal point. He can beat you, do everything that he can to make you submit to him, but until you submit with a meek and a quiet spirit, your home will never be what God wants it to be. Lord God, do a work in us. I believe you ministered to every man that heard the message. And I believe you want to minister to every woman. And you want us to be daughters of the promise. You want these ladies to be what they're supposed to be in their homes and raise their children. And be a wife to their husband and a grandmother to their grandchildren. Help us see, Lord, what you're saying to us today. You want to minister to us. You want to teach us in truth. Not man's truth, but your truth. Heads bowed. So in response, you know there's areas of your life, ladies, I'm talking to the ladies, that you need God to help you in this area. You know there's areas of your life where you really haven't come under your husband's covering because you just haven't been able to trust him. That's you. Now forget that he's sitting there because he really wants you to be ministered to. That's you. And you know there's a little work, a few adjustments that needs to happen in your life. Would you let me see your hand? Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father God, you're already doing a work. I know this is you.